Father, we thank you for this word. Lord, we pray that, as always, Lord God, that you would use this word in a mighty and a powerful way, Lord God. Father, this is your word, Lord. This is your truth, Lord, and let it bring life to us, Lord God. Let it fill us, Lord God, with your life, Lord God, with your mercy and your grace, Lord God. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord God, for this word that is such a treasure to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, if you were here last week, you might remember that I talked about us being more than conquerors. We saw that no matter what is going on in the world, no matter what's going on around us, no matter what is going on in our life, that we still have the ability to overcome all these problems because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. Not only is the victory ours because of Jesus, but according to Romans 8:37, we're told that in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. More than conquerors. God has called you. In fact, He has created you to become, and get this, a battle-hardened warrior. Fighting the good fight. You know that God wants every one of His people to be fighters? To fight the good fight? To overcome evil with good? Every one of us. All for the advancing of His kingdom, for the glory and the honor of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're all soldiers in Christ. And today what I want to do is I want to look at how God's grace, we're going to get into this, God's grace is more than sufficient. God's grace is more than sufficient to give us everything and anything, whatever we might need that a conquering warrior would need, so that we can be that fighter, so that we can be that warrior that God wants us to be. My goal today is that you would see that God's grace is there for you. You personally, every one of you. God's grace is available to you. To you. We need to see how this grace, the grace of God, is there to transform us into this amazing person, this amazing individual that God envisioned us to be before we were even created. The Apostle Paul understood this, and here's what he said. I'm going to back all this up with Scripture, as I always do. 1 Corinthians 15:10. Here's Paul, the Apostle Paul. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. What is this grace that Paul is talking about? It's all through the Scripture. God's grace involves every good thing, every good gift that God has poured out to us. That's His grace being poured out on us who don't deserve it. It's called this grace. The word in the Greek means unmerited favor or blessing. It's His power released into us. It's His giftings. It's all these things and more. I could spend all day just telling what it is. God's grace is His active, continuing, amazing love being poured out upon us, whether we deserve it or not. Do you think we even deserve it? No, we don't. We don't even deserve it. But that's what grace is all about. We don't deserve the blessings from God. We don't have a right we can't demand from God, but God gives it to us. It's His favor. And it's powerful. His grace is powerful. It's abundant. Like I said, it's undeserved. It's all-encompassing. This grace visited us even in the person of Jesus Christ. And now this grace is being poured out into us in the person of the Holy Spirit. Hebrews 10:29 tells us that the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of grace. Without God's grace, we would never be able to walk in our destiny. We could never be that conquering warrior that I talked about. We'd be operating in the flesh. Without God's grace, we would hardly have anything. We could never be that person that God wanted us to be. But see, God has a plan for us. He knows what we need, and so He continually pours out into us. We don't deserve it, but He does it anyway because of His great love. Without God's grace, our life as a Christian would be empty, it would be boring, it would be miserable, it would be unproductive. But thankfully, God didn't call us to live a life like that. He didn't create us to live an empty life. That's not the kind of God that we serve. He created us to live a life of power and victory and purpose. And each one of us in our own unique way. We're not little robots. We're not cookie cutter people. We're not all going to be the same. We're not. We're nothing like one another. And that's why God's grace will be poured out on each one of us differently. This is the way He works. We all have different needs because we all have a different purpose. Every one of us. And we can't compare what God gives from one person to another. It doesn't work like that. Well, he got that, or he's like that, or she's like that, or why don't I have that? That's not the way it works. Only God knows exactly what each one of us needs. Only God is all-knowing. He has all wisdom. And He doesn't have to try to be fair. Just because one person got this, the next person doesn't have to get that. They got what they need. God doesn't try to be fair, but everything He does is right. Everything He does is just. Is it fair that some people are stronger? Or some people are taller? Or some people are smarter than others? Or that someone's more talented? That someone has a beautiful voice and someone else doesn't? Or that someone else lives a long life or someone else lives a short life? Does that seem fair? Well, maybe not to us. It doesn't seem fair. We're told in the Bible to treat one another fairly because we don't have all wisdom. We don't know what each person has or needs or what they're like. So we can't judge what each person needs and decide what to give. So we have to treat each one another fairly. That's our obligation. But God, He knows what we need. And He's God. He does what He wants. And He will give you what you need. God will give you whatever you need to do whatever work He created you to do. When God, as a great artist, a great creator, someone who, you know, is the master of the universe, when He made you, you were a special, unique, one-of-a-kind. Got His name signed on there. No one is ever going to be like you again. In all the world, in all history, in all time, past, present, or future, no one will ever be just like you. We're told in God's Word that He made us special. And He did. That's the way God is. God, He knows every aspect of you. He knows every hair on your head. He knows everything you need. There's so much more to us than meets the eye. We don't even know all that's about us. We don't understand everything about ourselves. There is so much more to us. There's more than we could ever imagine. Only God knows the potential in us. And that's why God will pour out His grace upon us as the need arises. And when He does that, when He begins to pour out that grace, it starts like a chain reaction within us. Did you ever see those little, I was thinking, that you know those, they're like these little capsules that kids get when you're small. You might be 8, 6, 7, 5, 8, whatever. And you get these little, you put them in water. You know what I'm talking about? And then after a while, they start to grow and they get bigger and bigger. And pretty soon, they're bigger than the glass. And the little kid who's, you know, is still can't believe, how did that little tiny thing turn into something so big? And we're sort of like that in some ways. Without the Holy Spirit in us, which would be like the water, and the grace of God in our life, we're sort of dehydrated. We've not grown. We've not become what we're supposed to be yet. Only in Christ do we become who we're supposed to be. Only as God begins to pour into us, as we're filled with His presence, as we're filled with His Spirit, as His giftings are poured on into us, and as we begin to grow and develop, that's when we become who we were meant to be. So when we allow God to begin to work in our life, when we open ourselves up to the Holy Spirit, that's the water, like in that little example. And that Holy Spirit, remember, is called the Spirit of grace. Whatever talents, whatever abilities that you already have, now there could be a new dimension added to them. They will begin to expand and to blossom and to grow, and you'll be amazed as you allow God to help you to step out. See, we're always so afraid. We're always so worried. We're going to be embarrassed. We're too timid. We're afraid. We're too shy, and so we don't want to step out. We don't want to take that chance, take that risk. And God says, you know what? Don't worry about it. Let me lead you. Step out, say the word, and trust in me. There are scriptures that tell us not to worry ahead of time or before time about what we'll be saying, what we'll have to say. And we need to learn how to trust God and be led by God, led by His Spirit. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons and the daughters of God. After a while, you might not hardly recognize yourself. You might not recognize that gifting. You know, you might have found yourself starting to do something, thinking like, well, I'll try this. And you just never know where it's going to go. You know, today, I don't know if you noticed, Marie Abraham was up here. First time she ever came up. Who knows where that will lead? Everyone that came up here, I remember the first time Taylor came up. She didn't play keyboard. She barely sang. She was standing over here with her mom, Sandy. Everyone on the worship team. Every one of you, whatever you've done. You didn't start out like you are now. You begin to grow in it. But then when we allow the Spirit of God and the giftings of God to grow and develop within us, it takes on, like I said, a whole new dimension. It's just not normal growth. Now it becomes exponential growth. Now it becomes God-ordained growth. Now it becomes spiritual. It becomes extra growth. I can't even think of all the different words to explain it, but it's beyond anything that we could imagine. Because God really does have tremendous plans for you. And we have to walk in His grace if we want to see those plans come to fruition. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, "And God is able." God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Doesn't that sound pretty all-inclusive. I just noticed Debbie sitting out there. How you doing? It's good to see you. Second Corinthians 9:8. Let me read that again. And God is able to make all grace, all my giftings, all the things I want to give, this is God, abound to you. In other words, I can give you anything. I can give you everything. So that in all things, at all times, you will have everything you need so that you will do all kinds of good work. What's the good work? Advancing the kingdom. What's the thing that we're supposed to seek first and foremost above everything? Seek first the kingdom of God. And then all these things shall be added unto you. Sure, there's a million things we can do. It might be working on a car like John. It might be playing guitar like me. You know, it might be doing a business thing like Gloria, or, you know, working for the city like Diane did. You know, I mean, it could be all kinds of things. Things in the natural, things in the spiritual, whatever they are, God can ordain all those things. God can bless and use all those things, and that's what He does. He uses every one of us in a different spot, in a different place, to touch different people that no one else will ever have the opportunity to do except us. If you are willing, God is able. God wants to give to us. You know that? He likes to give to us. He wants to bless us. That's how we're able to do those good works, to bring praise, honor, and glory to His name. God has no lack of provisions. There are no shortages in the kingdom of God. Absolutely none. In Ephesians 2:7, it talks about the incomparable riches of God's grace. In Romans 5:17, it says that God's abundant provision of grace. His abundant provision of grace. If you remember what Jesus said in John 10:10, I've come that they may have life and have it to the full, or have it abundantly. God wants us to have an abundant life. So He wants to give to us. He wants to fill us. He wants to bless us so that we can do great things. God's not a miser. He has a vast storehouse of treasure, and it's all there. We saw a movie last night. It just popped into my head. I only watched a little bit of it because I was working on my message, but I came up at the time. It was called American National Treasure. You ever see that one with Nicolas Cage, an older movie? And they're looking for this treasure. It's a goofy premise. It's not true, you know, all the stuff that they're saying in there. But they're looking for this treasure, and they finally find it buried five stories down underground in New York on the corner of Wall Street and Broadway. And it's all these treasures from all over the world, billions and trillions of dollars worth of treasures, enough to split up between every institution in every country in the world. There's so much down there that somehow our founding fathers all stored down there. I don't know where they got it, but somehow that was supposedly, it was, you know, anyway, it was all this treasure. And I'm just thinking of that now. They saw all this treasure in this room, and then what he did is he had this torch, and he lit this trough of some type of flammable liquid, and when he lit it, all of a sudden this flame just shot out, and it went, it looked like for thousands of feet, and it went wide, hundreds of feet, and this giant cavern down underground, bigger than this monstrous cave, all filled with treasure. And it just hit me like, that's not even a taste of the treasures that God has in store for us. He owns the whole earth and everything in it. He owns it all. That's a pittance compared to what God has. And God's not a miser. He has all this stuff available for us so that whenever we need something, He just pulls it right out and gives it to us. As a Christian, our life should be continually enriched because of the grace of God. It's always there for whatever our need is. We have to be looking for it. We have to be willing to receive it. We have to go to God. Ask and you shall receive. According to Romans 5:2, it says, we have access to this grace from God. How? Through faith in Jesus. Through our faith. John 1:17 tells us that grace came through Jesus Christ. The original language, I was looking it up, and it sort of paints a picture of Jesus taking us by hand and bringing us into this storehouse and sort of like waving his hand and saying, all this, all that I have, it's all for you. I got this picture of like a dad, you know, like this empire he's built. Son, one of these days, all this will be yours. And that's sort of how it is with God. It's like, it's not all going to be ours because it goes to everybody, but anything that we need out of there will be available to us. Because God's not a miser. God never lacks. He's always more than, His grace is more than sufficient. Every need we could ever have will be met by God's abundant grace. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So see what he's saying there? When you have a need, whatever that need might be, when it's a valid need, not when, God, I need a new car. You know, it's not like, you know, hey, I need a bigger this, I need a bigger house, I need... It's not those kind of needs. It's the things that we need to fulfill our purpose, to do what God is calling us to do. As we are led by the Spirit, when there is a need there, it says that we can have confidence to go to God, to go to the throne of mercy and grace, and He will supply, He will help us in our time of need. Even in our weakness, and in fact, especially in our weakness. That's the really cool thing. In those areas where we feel like, I can't do it. I don't have that in me. Even in our weakness. Do you remember Paul? He had a problem. He had some kind of problem. He called it a thorn in the flesh. Everybody speculates on what that thorn was, you know, some kind of sin. Was it his eyes? Was it, you know, was it, who knows what it was? Maybe he had a problem with handwriting. And I mean, it could have been anything. It could have been a million things. It could have been all kinds of things. But it says in 2 Corinthians 12:8, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. Could have been a temptation. Who knows what it was? Does it really matter? No. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all. All we need to know is that he had a need, and he went to God, and he kept saying, God, can you please take this thing away from me? And God said to him, my grace. I don't need to take away the problem. What he's saying is, I'll give you the solution. Do you see what I'm saying? God's not going to take away our problems. He gives us the solutions so we can deal with the problem, get stronger, and become more than a conqueror. He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, Paul again talking, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power, his grace, may rest on me. He's saying that because I'm weak, I'm going to get more gifts. Because I'm lacking, I'll get more. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Basically, he's saying, I'm filled with power. When I'm weak, I'll be filled with power through the grace of God. When I have need, I'll be filled, all that need will be filled through the grace of God. We might be afraid that if we fail God and we sin, then God's going to withdraw that grace. But let me tell you this. We know we're all going to sin, right? If we truly love God and we're trying to serve Him and we fail and we fall into some kind of sin, God's grace all of a sudden doesn't just disappear. Let me tell you a secret. It's increased. Romans 5:20 tells us, where sin increased, grace increased all the more. Why? God will give us more grace. He'll give us more power. He'll give us more ability to fight and to conquer sin so we can defeat the enemy. See, He's in the business of building us up. He's in the business of hardening us. And as we go through these trials, that's why we can count them as joy. Not because we go through them, but because each trial makes us stronger. And trials are often our failings, our sins, our weaknesses. And God says, yep, now you saw it. Now you know what you're capable of. And any one of us are capable of sin. And God says, now that you see it and you can finally admit it, that you're not perfect, and now that you've come to me, now I'm going to give you what you need. As a parent, when our child fails, we don't withdraw our love. We encourage them and we give them what they need to succeed. Would God do any less for us? I don't think so. God's our supplier. He's our source. He's our provider. He's our Jehovah Jireh. God knows we need His grace to overcome evil and be victorious. We can't do it in the flesh. We can't do it on our own. We can't do it without His help. So He's not going to get mad at us and say, okay, you blew it. That's it. I'm out of here. It's not the way God works. Where sin increased, grace increased even more. It's how we were saved, right? We were sinners when we got saved. Remember that? And we were unforgiven sinners. We were bad. We're still sinners. But now we've been made righteous through the blood of Christ. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourself. It is the gift of God. The grace of God. Ephesians 2:8. God wants to give all of us the gift of grace. His perfect love desires to bless us abundantly, to bless us where there are no limits. God is not limited in any way. And we also need to realize that when God pours His grace out on us, it's not just for our benefit alone. We definitely get that benefit. We certainly do, the benefit of His grace. But He wants us to take that gift and take it beyond ourselves. When He strengthens us, when He endows us with these amazing, wonderful gifts, He wants us to pour that gifting out for others. So that's what we do. We pour ourselves out for other people. 1 Peter 4:10, each one of you should use whatever gift, there's that word, gift is grace. Each one of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace, God's gifts, in its various forms in various people. We are supposed to be stewards, faithful stewards of God's grace. He gives us so we can give, so we can bless, so we can pass it on, so we can help others to see the beauty of God. He gives us such an abundance, an overwhelming abundance. So we got enough, more than enough to share. All we need to remember is this. We cannot give God. You've probably heard that a million times, and it's true. You cannot give God. The more you give out, the faster you give out, the faster God pours in. More and more, faster and faster. When you think you can't do God's work, when you think like, man, I just don't have it, I can't do it, remember this, God in you, and we talked about this a couple times over the last couple weeks, God in you is able to do anything and everything, anything He wants through you. If we say that we can't do Christ's work, that we can't accomplish some task that God has given us, what we're saying then, in reality, is that God isn't able to do that. God can't do it because He can't do it in me. Or either that, or we're saying maybe God even isn't even in us. That's even worse. Neither one of those are options for us, because God is in us, and God in us or through us can do anything. All things are possible through Him, right? So instead, that grace should be flowing through us at a rate that it will reach, according to 2 Corinthians 4:15, more and more people, and may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. See, as we pour out the blessings that we've gotten, as we pour out that grace that we've gotten, and as the giftings in us grow and develop, then hopefully what's going to happen as we use that, as we share that, as we bless others in those ways, then it's going to overflow, cause other people to be thankful to the point where they overflow with thankfulness and give glory and honor to God. That's where we need to be. And like I said earlier, I mean, the more we use God's grace to bless others, the more we will be blessed. I think you ever hear, I think there's a, if I'm not mistaken, I think there's a scripture that says something like, the more we give, what does it say? The more we will receive. Isn't there something like that? I think there's a scripture like that, isn't there? It's more blessed to give than to receive. And it's all through the scripture. I'm just playing. There's no greater feeling than to be used by God and to see somebody who is then truly blessed through you. There's no greater feeling than to share God with somebody and to see them turn their life over to God. That's the ultimate gift that you can give. Salvation, right? Not that it's we can give it, but we are involved in the process. To be able to share our faith with somebody and to see them get saved, I mean, it's wonderful. But that's, and that is the greatest gift we can give, but there are millions and millions of gifts in so many various forms that we can share. Something that everybody wants to have a full life. Everybody wants to have a fun, exciting, filled, abundant, powerful life. But here's a statement that when I wrote this down, I thought, man, this is really, if we could get a hold of this and really take it to heart, we will never have an abundant life by taking. The only way we'll ever have an abundant life is through giving. Giving ourselves to others. Think about it. You can take and take and take. Oh, I got more and more money. I got more and more things. And the people that have more and more and more and more enjoy it less and less and less and less. Because they're just constantly taking. God wants us to be givers, to share His grace, to share everything that, He gives us. As we do that, then the abundance becomes part of our life. It's one of those kind of things, like, you know, you have to live, you have to die to live. It's a dichotomy, something that doesn't seem to make sense, but the more filled you want to be, the more you have to give away. And that's how we become more like Christ, because that's what He did. He came here to give. He gave Himself. This is how we leave boredom and monotony behind in the dust. As we give ourselves, the more we give, that the giftings that God has given us, the more we give that grace. That's how we advance the kingdom of God. That's how we become that conquering warrior that we were called to be. We should all be looking for God to pour out His grace on us so that we can pour it out on others. 2 Peter 3:18 says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory now and forever." Grow in grace. Grow in the giftings. Grow in the blessings of God. So if we're going to grow in that, it means we got to go to God. Go to that throne confidently in our time of need. Don't be satisfied with where you are. If God has told you to grow in grace, that means, you know, don't be stuck in a rut. Don't be stuck in mediocrity. Don't be stuck in a place where you feel helpless or useless or bored or whatever it might be. Go to God and say, "God, what do I need to do? What can I do? Show me, fill me up so I can go out and give. And I can be a blessing. And I can overcome. And I can be that person then that inspires others." Remember, Jesus wants to take you. Like I was talking earlier about that storehouse. He wants to take you by the hand. And He wants you to go into that storehouse of His giftings, His grace. He wants to let you know you can have whatever you need to do whatever He needs you to do. No matter what we're going through, God's grace is there for you. Just remember that. It's there for all your needs. We need to look for His favor. Don't be afraid to ask God. Don't think that God doesn't care enough about you to give you what you need. His grace is more than sufficient. That's how you'll be filled with the fullness of joy. And that's how you're going to, by walking in that grace then and being a blessing to others, that's how you're going to be not only blessed by God, but you're going to bless God. And you're going to bless others. And this undeserved favor that I was talking about, this beautiful gift of grace, is for every person in here. Every one of you watching online. It's not just for other people. It's for you. It's for you. God, He wants to bless you and me. And I'm going to end it with one last scripture in Peter, 1 Peter 1:2. It says, "To those who have been chosen." Who's that? Are you? Are you one of God's chosen? "According to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with His blood, grace and peace be yours in abundance." In abundance. God's grace, God's giftings, God's favor in abundance. Don't be a pauper. Don't be someone who thinks God won't be there for you, that God won't come through for you. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. That's what God wants for you. Let's close in prayer. If I could have the prayer team come forward. Hallelujah. Father, we want to thank You, Lord God. We thank You so much that You have poured out Your mercy, that You have poured out Your grace, Lord God, that we can come to You confidently in our time of need, and that we can ask You for whatever it is that we need, and we can trust that our loving Father, that You, our loving Father, will give us what we need. Lord, fill us up. Fill us up, Lord. I pray that each one of us would begin to envision that vast storehouse that you have for us, this treasure that you have there for us, filled and ready, waiting to supply us with our every need, so that we can go forth doing your will, advancing your kingdom, building your church, blessing other people, and blessing you, our Lord and Savior. Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you for all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, Father. Amen. Amen.